If you need a place to stay for cheap, almost nothing really, with all meals included, and an exercise room down the hall, you can have that. There's a few startup expenses, but once you get there, it's free. All you have to do is make a credible threat against the life of the President of the United States, and they'll put you way back in jail, and you'll get to stay there for free. That's because they take such threats very seriously because of the history of this. And in the same way, in Jesus' day, they took threats against Caesar quite seriously. And that's the reason why when the ruling Jews wanted to make sure that Jesus got crucified, they charged him falsely with claiming to be a threat against Caesar, with claiming to be a political king. Now, the irony of this is delicious when you stop and think about these two men, Caesar Augustus and the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. 2,000 years later, their roles and their apparent value in the world has really shifted, hasn't it? It's astonishing that these guys made a false claim about the King of Kings, saying that he claimed to be a king. And a friend of mine likes to point out that these days, 2,000 years later, the King of Kings is so highly regarded that people commonly name their sons after his disciples, Peter and James and John and Thomas and so forth. Whereas for Caesar, well, they named their dogs after Caesar. So here they are. And Pilate asks Jesus about these charges. And what he says to Pilate clashes. I mean, it doesn't connect. They're not on the same wavelength. And that's because they're talking about two very different kinds of kingdoms. A kingdom, that word in the Bible, is used to describe a system of control whereby you try to control events or people. That's what a kingdom is. And we said last week that portrayed in this verse is a clash of two different kinds of kingdoms. There's the kingdom of this world, the kingdom that is run according to the ruler of this world by the people of this world, such as Caesar and Pilate and the rulers of the temple and this kind of thing. And they run according to human principles. And then you got Jesus' kingdom, which is entirely different. We showed last week that the kingdom of this world, the rulers in the kingdom of this world, frequently resort to tactics such as hypocrisy, expediency, dishonesty, injustice and coercion by threats of force, and that's how the kingdom of this world operates. And we said that last week that we would go back to this passage again and try to contrast that with the kingdom that Jesus is talking about. And we want to do that this morning, if starting in verse 33, as Jesus responds to Pilate. Pilate says, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus says, "Is that your own idea? Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." Literally, he says, "is not from here." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Literally, he says, "Everyone who is of the truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this, he went out again. That short passage is about what we have to go on in this extended passage to try to examine, well, how does the kingdom that Jesus is talking about contrast with the kingdom of this world? And it's impossible to make a direct comparison because they are so different. But let's make four brief observations from here. First is that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. It's not from here. Sounds a little bit like something out of Star Wars, doesn't it? And I'm wondering if you could have read Pilate's mind when he was hearing those words, whether he would have been startled or amazed, or, you know, kind of a thrill of trying to understand what this guy was saying. Who is this man? And I sense from Pilate's question that he was more than a little bit disturbed by the kind of responses he was getting from Jesus. You know, who are you really? Small hairs standing up on the back of his head. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not from this world. It's not of this world. It's on a whole different plane of existence. It's just completely different in where it emanates from, where the control emanates from. And it's puzzling that Jesus would say that, because he obviously came to this world to invite people who lived in this world to be part of his kingdom. But because it's an entirely different system of control, he says not of this world. It's as different as if, to use the Pinocchio metaphor, if Jesus was a living being in a world full of marionettes, and inviting others to join him in his whole different kind of control system, because he's been teaching his disciples that when they come to faith in him, when anyone comes to faith in Jesus, surrenders to Jesus, he gives them the Holy Spirit to live in them. He says, make your home in me, and I will make my home in you. And at that point, when we have the Holy Spirit flowing through us, we're no longer of this world. And we belong to a system of control or a kingdom that is not of this world, because we are not of this world. That's the first observation that we make. And then the next one follows close on the heels of that. If we were of this world, we would act like this world. So since we're not of this world, we're not like this world in our actions or our behavior. We don't resemble the way this world tries to exercise control. Same verse, 36, Jesus says, if my kingdom was of this world, my servants, literally those who are second in command to me, would be fighting. They'd have their swords out and they would try to prevent my arrest. But that's just, you know, it's irrelevant in my kingdom. It's not the same kind of deal. It would be nice, as we look back through history, if the church had spent more time with this passage to truly understand that since we do not belong to the kingdom of this world, we do not fight or try to exercise control according to the same principles and same rules as the kingdom of this world. We don't draw our swords and force people to convert. There was a time when I thought that witnessing about Jesus was to be done the same way that I used to tell people about our sound company and cook up marvelous and thought-provoking logical explanations of why somebody would want to pay double the money to hire us, that they could hire somebody else. And I was quite good at it, and I used to apply those same techniques to tell people about Jesus, and it didn't work. Oh yeah, some people said they came to faith, but what they came to faith in was my logic, and it didn't last. And God showed me patiently that you don't operate like the kingdom of this world when you're in a different kingdom. There's political strife going on right now because people don't understand that. I mean, if you moved to Saudi Arabia, it would be foolish for you to try and draw on the Bill of Rights or to become a citizen in China and say, hey, it's free country. It's not. When you go to a different kingdom, it's different rules. And because Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, his rules are going to be totally different. And they are. His teaching is completely different. The motives and the objectives of the kingdom of this world go right out the window. The motives of protect yourself by any means possible. Protect number one. That's the first objective. It goes out the window. Gather the most toys before you die, because this is all there is. Out the window. Jesus comes and he says, love your neighbor the same way you love yourself. Love your enemy the same way you love your brother. Store up your treasures in heaven, not here. Get ready for what's coming. It's eternal. It's a whole different set of assumptions in the kingdom of Jesus as opposed to the kingdom of this world. And the reason we see right on the heels of each other, it's not of this world and it's not like this world, is because it's not run by human assumptions. It doesn't gather its information by human intelligence and so-called wisdom. Well, where does it get its information from? If you look in verse 37. Jesus says to Pilate, you say, and it's implied correctly, I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Now, as kind of a side note, once again, I suspect that Pilate's attention was aroused, and you know, the hairs on the back of his neck are standing up and doing a little watusi back there, because this statement that Jesus makes absolutely no sense unless he existed and was able to plan and strategize before he was born. He said, I had a plan, a purpose, before I came. And here's why I came. And here's why I was born into this world. We've seen science fiction movies where scientists will make themselves microscopically small and inject themselves into the blood flow of a human being for a purpose, right? Or put themselves in a time machine and go back to a whole different world for a purpose. Well, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, claimed, in truth, to make that kind of a journey from heaven to earth and become a tiny cell in the womb of a teenage unwed mother in a backwater town in a conquered nation, to become a tiny child and to grow for a purpose. Absolutely astonishing. But his purpose was to bear witness to the truth. Implied in that statement is that we human beings here on the planet have lost touch with the truth. We've lost our ability to know truly what this is all about and how it works and why. And you know that if you're ignorant about something, you're held captive to that ignorance. Talking to Don the other day about his invention of a flow meter with no moving parts. I said, well, you didn't really invent it. You discovered it was there all along. We had this conversation the other day. And it was our ignorance that held us captive. We couldn't do what he showed us we could do until he discovered that it was there and applied it. Years ago, we were driving on a trip in a car that got a flat tire, and I went out, I'm going to fix the car, you know, and I, you know, a little posturing with a lug wrench in hand, looking macho, and go to take off the lug nuts, and I couldn't do it. And I'm pulling with all my might. I got my foot on the wheel, and I'm grunting and sweating and using colorful language even, and it still wouldn't budge until I discovered the truth. And I can't remember whether I looked in the owner's manual or whether somebody came by and told me, but the truth was those lug nuts on that side of the car had a left-handed thread, and I was tightening them. And it wasn't until I found the truth and turned them the other direction, away from what I was genuinely sure was the right direction, that we were free to go on our trip. And in the same way, we are held captive because we don't know the truth. Jesus came to bear testimony to the truth of who God is, the truth of his character, the truth of his purpose, the truth of everything about his creation and how it works. Because we are held captive. We sense God. We sense we should be connected to God. We sense our sin. We sense all this trouble in our spirit and our soul. And we try with all our heart to get those lug nuts off. We try to jump through all these religious hoops and do all this stuff to try to make ourselves righteous. But Jesus came and said, God loved this world so much that he gave me, his only son, in sacrifice, so that if you would believe, you would not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus said, if you make your home, if you live in the midst of how I know this world works, this universe works, and who God is, my logos, my word, if you make your home in my word, then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. The difference with Jesus' kingdom is it's not based on human ignorance, but it's based on truth. It is the kingdom of truth. And the spirit that he gives is the spirit of truth. It's not of this world. It doesn't operate according to the principles of this world. And it's not limited and trapped by human ignorance, but is set free by truth. Capital T, truth. And then we ask, well, okay, how does the control get exercised? If the control in this world is exercised by expediency and hypocrisy and threats of force and all these kinds of things, how does the kingdom work? How does the control work in Jesus' kingdom? And he says, everyone. Now, I'm sorry, but the NIV has a lousy translation of what he said. He's not on the side of truth. This is not a political party. Everyone who is of the truth, whose life emanates from truth, listens to my voice, hears my voice. Now, when you hear that those words, hears my voice or listens to me in the Bible, it's not just mentally registering that Jesus is moving his lips and making a sound. It's not like you see in sitcoms where the husband is sitting at the table reading the stock market report while his wife is chattering on, and he says, oh, I'm listening, dear. That's not that. Hearing his voice means understanding what he's saying, getting it, aha, and surrendering or submitting to what he said, and then obeying. It's an entirely different system of control in Jesus' kingdom than the control of this world. The control of the kingdom of this world is exercised from the outside in by force. The control in the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of truth, comes from the inside out by understanding, surrender, and obedience. Which incidentally, or not incidentally, points out the absolute necessity or prerequisite of having the Holy Spirit. Because it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can truly understand what this upside down thinking is all about. It's only through the Holy Spirit that our will is able to surrender. It's only through the Holy Spirit that we have the power to obey. And so the whole thing is tied up on the Holy Spirit. It's not of this world. It's a whole different system where he gives the Holy Spirit and we're no longer of this world. It's not operating according to the principles of this world, but rather through listening to the Holy Spirit. It's based on truth. How do we get that? We hear Jesus speak of it in the Bible, but then he says, I'm going to send you the Spirit of truth who will guide you in all truth. And we understand and we surrender and we obey all by the power of the Holy Spirit. So an entirely different kingdom. And which kingdom is for me? Which kingdom is for you? We said last week that when we adopt the principles of this world in an emergency situation, oh, well, just this once I'll tell a lie. Or, oh, just this once I'll be hypocritical. Or, oh, just this once I'll make an unholy alliance with somebody out of expediency. Then we sign up as citizens in the kingdom of this world. But if we want to sign up as citizens in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of truth, we operate in an entirely different way. When Jesus spoke to Pilate, implicitly he was giving Pilate a choice. You can attempt to seize the illusion of control in the kingdom of this world by doing what you're doing, or you can join my kingdom that is not of this world, doesn't work like this world, based on truth and surrender. Pilate, he blew the whole thing off. He said, what's truth? And stomped off. He never listened for a response, but he had put his finger on the touchstone of Jesus' ministry. He came to bear witness to the truth. Pilate says, what is that? And he left. But if he'd stayed and listened and understood and responded, he could have been transformed eternally. Wouldn't have that been something? Imagine if Pilate came to faith and then went out and talked to the Jews. Whole different deal. And maybe if I was writing the story or some human like me, that's how it would have happened. But what had to happen for Jesus to extend this invitation to you and Pilate and me was he had to pay for it. Because it was absolutely essential before the Holy Spirit could be given that our souls had to be prepared by being forgiven and cleansed of sin. And Jesus did that on the cross. A sinless human being had to die to pay the full penalty. It had to be just. And he had to be raised from the dead in order to give this Holy Spirit, this life, the Spirit of truth. And we come saying, yes, we have decided by faith to be citizens in the kingdom of truth, kingdom of Jesus, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. But it is a choice. And the choice hinges on the question the pilot asks. What is truth? If you do a comparison, you'll discover that the gospel author John uses that word truth more than all the rest of the gospels put together. For example, the root word truth in John shows up 22 times, in Matthew, 3 times. And then in addition to that, there's lots of different forms of the word truth. And then Jesus saying, I tell you the truth, which is the Greek way that has been transliterated into English by the word amen. I tell you the truth. And every time Jesus says, I tell you the truth, or speaks directly about the truth, what is he doing? He's doing what he was born to do. He's doing what he came into this world to do, so that he could establish in this world a kingdom that was not of this world. And so as I started studying back through that, I began to look at all these different examples of Jesus saying, I tell you the truth, or speaking about truth, or what was true. And I got walloped. Just in the Gospel of John. Just to go back, you know, page after page, look, where does that word show up? And I thought this morning, if you're trying to wrestle with this question, which kingdom is for me, look at the answer. What is truth?
John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. John 1:51, he then added, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. John 3:3, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. John 3:5, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. John 3:16 through 21, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. John 4:23 and 24. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshippers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. John 5:19, Jesus gave them this answer, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. John 5:24 and 25, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, the time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. John 6:32. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. John 6:47. I tell you the truth, He who believes has everlasting life. John 6:53. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. John 8:31-32. Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him, If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:34-36. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. John 8:39-41. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, We were not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. John 8:44-47. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. John 8:51. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. John 8:58. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. John 10:7. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. John 12:24-26. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. John 13:20. I tell you the truth, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. John 14:12. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. John 14:16-17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. John 15:26-27. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me, and you will bear witness also, because you have been with me from the beginning. John 16:7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. John 16:13-15. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. John 16:20. I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. John 16:23. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. John 17:17. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. John 18:37. Pilate therefore said to him, So you are a king? Jesus answered, You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.